From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listeners, you are listening to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Be prepared, we have more information coming from Indonesia. I am Stefanus Wau, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. Well listener, let's begin with the news. From Jakarta, Indonesia, here's the news. First, the headlines. NLE is formed to give efficiency. Indonesian ambassador to Cuba says no Indonesian citizens are exposed to COVID-19. And here is news in detail, read by Stefanus Wau. The Indonesian government will simplify the national logistics system in order to be more efficient. It is done by forming a National Logistics Ecosystem, or NLE, or National Logistics Ecosystem. Coordinating Minister for Economy Airlangga Hartarto, after attending the limited cabinet meeting via video conference on Wednesday, stated that the government will form an NLE 4 months ahead. Minister Airlangga further said that President Jokowi asked that NLE can be made not only based on the application and ecosystem of the system itself, which integrates among ministries and institutions, but it is also simplify the process and eliminate repetitive processes and reduce logistic costs. He also explained that it also needs the integration of related ministries or institutions so that there is a harmonization of the system to reduce obstacles in the services.
The roadmap of NLE itself will be done for the next 4 months, and the president has said that there will be assignments for the customs to carry NLE and have presidential instruction. Of course, in the presidential instruction, there will be a director from relevant ministries, then there will be a daily executive handled by the Minister of Finance and Customs. Besides, the president also gave direction for the implementation of this national logistics. The major thing is in this field, implementation, and the president also gave direction to involve the Corruption Eradication Commission for supervision so that the system can run effectively and efficiently.
Meanwhile, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati explained that in terms of improving the logistics system, the government will build two platforms, namely at the system development level and the implementation level. The government will make a National Logistic Ecosystem, or NLE, which will also integrate logistic movement in Indonesia at the level of system development. Indonesian Ambassador to Cuba Alfred T. Palembangan stated that until now, there are no Indonesian citizens who have been exposed to the coronavirus or COVID-19. In an interview by telephone to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, Alfred said there are 4 people exposed to the COVID-19 in Cuba that consists of 3 tourists from Italy and 1 Cuban citizen who just came home from Italy. He also stated that the 4 people are now being isolated at the hospitals in Cuba.
Sampai saat ini, dari informasi yang kami
until now, from the information that the embassy has obtained through WhatsApp groups made and the information announced by several honorary consuls in the countries that the embassy has such in the Bahamas, Haiti, and Jamaica, stated that there are no Indonesian citizens who are exposed to the coronavirus. Moreover, Ambassador Alfred T. Palembangan further explained, currently there are about 56 Indonesian citizens who live in Cuba that consists of a big family of Indonesian embassy, 7 Indonesian university students, and Indonesians who live and marry with Cubans. to provide information about the coronavirus, Indonesian Embassy in Havana made a WhatsApp group for Indonesians living in Cuba, Bahamas, Haiti, and Jamaica. Through the group, the Indonesian Embassy can easily monitor the conditions of those Indonesians in the countries and appeal them to obey the local regulations. China on Thursday marked a major milestone in its battle against the coronavirus pandemic as it recorded zero domestic infections for the first time since the outbreak emerged, but a spike in imported cases threatened its progress. As quoted by AFP.com, on March the 19th, the stock reversal comes as nations across the world have shut down in a desperate effort to contain the pandemic, with more people now infected and having died abroad than in China. According to National Health Commission, there were no new cases in Wuhan, the central city where the virus first emerged in December, for the first time since authorities started publishing figures in January in Wuhan, and its 11 million people were placed under strict quarantine on January the 23rd, with more than 40 million other people in the rest of Hubei province entering lockdown in the following days. The global tennis calendar has been thrown into further chaos after the decision by the French Open organizers to postpone the Grand Slam, with players and rival tournaments critical of the apparently unilateral move. As quoted by AFP.com, the event at Roland Garros, traditionally the second major of the season, was on Tuesday moved from a May the 24th start date to September the 20th, meaning it would start just 1 week after the US Open if that event remains in its original slot. Organizers said strict confinement measures imposed by the French government to tackle the COVID-19 had made it impossible to continue with preparations. French Tennis Federation President Bernard Guiselli said his side has made a difficult yet brave decision in this unprecedented situation, which has evolved greatly since last weekend. Organizers of the Grand Slam in New York acknowledge it might need to be moved, but in a scarcely vile dig at the French Open organizers, said they would not go it alone. A massive coronavirus prayer session with tens of thousands of devotees sparked an outcry in Bangladesh on Wednesday as the South Asian nation reported its first death from the global pandemic. As quoted by AFP.com, local police chief Tota Mia stated, some 10,000 Muslims gathered in an open field in Raipur town in southern Bangladesh to pray healing verses from the Quran to rid the country of the deadly virus. Mia also said they held the Khatma Shiva prayers after dawn to free the country from the coronavirus. Organizers claimed the number of worshippers was 25,000. He said organizers did not get permission from authorities to hold the session. Photos of the gathering was widely shared on social media, with commanders slamming the massive rally. Authorities have already shut schools and asked locals to avoid large gatherings in an effort to halt the spread of the disease. Still about the coronavirus, a European Central Bank, or ECB, has launched an emergency 750 billion euro, or around $820 billion, or £706 billion packages to ease the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. As quoted by BBC.com, it will buy government and company debt across the Eurozone, including that of the troubled Greece and Italy. ECB boss Christine Lagarde tweeted, "There are no limits to its commitment to euro." In recent weeks, central banks and governments around the world have announced major stimulus plans. The so-called Pandemic Emergency Purchase Program comes just 6 days after the ECB unveiled its measures that failed to calm the markets, piling pressure on it to do more to support Europe's economies. Announcing this latest move, Ms. Lagarde said that the ECB will do everything in its powers to support the euro in these extraordinary times. Euro 2020 has been postponed by 1 year until 2021 because of the coronavirus pandemic. European football's governing body made the decision during an emergency video conference involving major stakeholders on Tuesday. BBC.com reported the tournament, due to take place from the 12th of June until the 12th of July this summer, will now run on 11th of June to 11th of July next year. The postponement provides a chance for European leagues that have been suspended there now to be completed. By moving the European Championship, UEFA has now a clash with the Women's European Championship, which is due to be held in England in 2021, beginning on July the 7th. The Nations League and European Under-21 Championships are also scheduled to take place next summer. UEFA said all three events will be rescheduled accordingly, but it is currently unclear if that involves minor tweaks to dates or large-scale postponements. In delaying Euro 2020, UEFA said it wanted to avoid placing any unnecessary pressure on national public services of its 12 host countries, as well as helping allow domestic competitions to be finished. And listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, here is commentary for today with the title Impact of COVID-19 Emergency Period Extension. National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, decided to extend the COVID-19 particular state of emergency in Indonesia. This status applies for 91 days from February 29th until May 29, 2020. According to the agency, the period extension aims to suppress the spread of COVID-19 that keeps getting wider and may cause more deaths. Besides, COVID-19 spread can result in property loss, people's mental state, as well as threat and disturbance against people's life. That decision also aims to provide flexibility for the government in preparing proper hospital and the operational budget in eradicating COVID-19 outbreak. However, the particular emergency status extension is expected not to trigger food hoarding by the people ahead of fasting months that will begin on April 25. The government and related parties must anticipate that, considering it has been an annual tradition that staple needs demand increases ahead on during Ramadan months. To anticipate the staple food insufficiency in some cities before fasting month, the government needs to ensure the supply availability. In addition, the government must anticipate price spike that happened in the previous years. In maintaining supply and price of the staple needs, central and regional government, as well as food business people, must coordinate and synergy so that the situation can be conducive. In the end, the people of Indonesia can live their daily activities, especially fasting, with ease, even though the COVID-19 particular emergency state is extended until May 29. That was commentary.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over a real surprise, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on March 19, 1932, when Sydney Harbour Bridge was opened. Sydney Harbour Bridge is the main line to cross Sydney Harbour, which connects Sydney Centre Business District and North Sydney. On the bridge, there are lines for trains, general motor vehicles, and pedestrian. Besides Sydney Opera Building, Sydney Harbour Bridge is also the icon of Australia, especially Sydney City. The local people call the bridge as the coat hanger because of its design whose curved on the top. Even though the mansion Israeli named, the bridge was the highest building in Sydney until 1967. According to Guinness World Records, the bridge is the widest bridge and the highest curved bridge in the world, whose peak reaches 134 meters above the harbor. The bridge is noted as the port's longest bridge in the world. On March 19, 1932, it was opened for public. The next event was in 1949 when East German constitution was legalized. On March 19, 1949, People Council in East Germany, which was occupied by Soviet Union post-World War II, legalized a new constitution. Concurrently, this also indicated the establishment of German separation. German status became the source of the feud between the United States of America and Soviet Union even before World War II ended. Soviet Union wanted Germany to be disarmed with their weapons, while the United States of America, which viewed Soviet Union as a competitor, had intention to make Germany have in complete weapon as a country pro-Western. When finally World War II ended in May 1945, Russian troops occupied most of German territory, including Berlin. After negotiation among the United States of America, Russia, England, and France, the division of the occupied territories between the United States of America and Russia was agreed. Berlin City was divided into two parts. The eastern part was controlled by Soviet Union, and the western one was controlled by United States of America. And the last event was in 2002 when Polycarpus Budihari Priyanto, a pilot of Garuda Indonesia, was officially arrested as the suspect murder case of human rights activist Munir. Polycarpus Budihari Priyanto was a senior pilot of Garuda Indonesia. He had been decided as suspect the murder of human rights activist Munir since March 19, 2004. The murder was suspected to be conducted by Pyosenet. Police supposed that he was not the main actor of the murder, but he was only facilitator. At the time, Polycarpus was not on duty. He was flying the same plane with Munir. The seat which was seated by Munir was actually the seat for Polycarpus, but Polycarpus offered to change his seat with Munir. It was the reason why Polycarpus was arrested. On December 1, 2005, Public Prosecutor of Central Jakarta District Court demanded the life sentence because he was proven to be involved in the plan of Munir's murder. In fact, he was not only convicted in prison for 14 years by the judge, but in January 2008, the attorney picked Polycarpus up his house, and the picket was continuation of Supreme Court ruling which received judicial review from Munir's attorney team. In the decision, the Supreme Court convicted Polycarpus for 20 years because he was proven conclusively to conduct Munir's murder. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Bye. banyak cinta yang datang mendekat, ku menolak. Semua itu karena ku cinta kau. Jika ada yang bilang ku tak baik, jangan kau dengar. Jika ada yang bilang ku berubah, jangan kau dengar. Banyak cinta yang datang mendekat, ku menolak. Semua itu karena ku cinta kau. Saat kau ingat aku, ku ingat kau. Saat kau rindu, aku juga rasa. Ku tahu kau selalu ingin denganku. Ku lakukan yang terbaik yang bisa ku lakukan. Tuhan yang tahu ku cinta kau. Jika kau tak percaya padaku, sakitnya aku. Jika kau lebih dengar mereka, sedih hatiku. Banyak cinta yang datang mendekat, ku menolak. Semua itu karena ku cinta
Wadah listener, you're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. You can listen to us on our website voanews.id. And here comes more information from Indonesia in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. Well, the title of today's My Indonesia is West Papua's primary forest reduced by 20.1 million hectares. Well, listener, West Papua province has lost 2.1 million hectares of primary forest from 1990 until 2018. West Papua Regional Secretary Nathaniel Mandachan in Manokwari on Tuesday said that the government is committed to implementing the result of International Conference on Biodiversity, Ecotourism and the Economic Creative event that took place in Manokwari in October 2018. One of the commitments from the meeting was to prepare 70% of the land in West Papua as a forest area. At present, the commitment is being pushed to be included in the provincial spatial planning documents. Based on data from the West Papua Environment Agency, the total land area of the province reaches around 10.30 million hectares. From 1990 to 2018, significant primary dry forest cover has changed from around 69.76% to 48.61% of the entire province. According to Nathaniel, within 13 years from now, West Papua's primary forests have the potential to disappear if the regional government is not appropriate to choose development patterns. Meanwhile, head of the West Papua Environment Agency, Abdul Latif Suari, said that at present, his office, along with Conservation International Indonesia, is studying the estimated cover of West Papua province in the coming 2033. He also explained that the analysis of the forest change data from 1990 until 2018 begins to be studied and makes prediction of changes in the forest of West Papua in 2033. Then the result of these predictions are viewed with some possible scenarios from West Papua development. Take, for example, the West Papua government uses a business approach as usual, or there is no intervention from the government, the development pattern is in accordance with the 2013-2033 spatial plan, and development approach is based on the Environmental Sensitive Area, ESA. Furthermore, Abdul Latif Suari explained that based on the ESA approach, 82% of West Papuan mainland must be protected because studies have shown that during the period 1990 until 2018, there was a change or reduction in primary dryland forest cover from nearly 7 million hectares to nearly 5 million hectares. Well, listener, that was my Indonesia Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Thank you. You are still listening to the English service by Voice of Indonesia. Next, the information about tourism and also our local tradition or local wisdom of Indonesian people. The next one, Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to introduce you to Sampirang Beach in North Sulawesi. North Minahasa is one of regencies in North Sulawesi. The regency has strategic location because it is located between Manado and port city of Bitung. Due to its location, which is close to the sea, North Minahasa has many amazing marine tourism objects, among others, sea parks in Gangga Island, Lihaga, Nain, and Talise Islands. In addition to the islands, there are also many exotic and natural beaches. One of them is located at Kalinaun Village, East Likupang District. The local people called it Sampirang Beach. Sampirang Beach has quite long coastal line with smooth white sand. When the seawater is receding, the beach landscape is more expanse with seaweed and coral decoration. Views of small fish among the seaweed and coral leaves become main attraction of the beach. There are also many trees, especially coconut trees, which become natural shelter. The Sampirang Beach has clear water with the beauty of undersea panorama, and if you like swimming, you can do it all you can. To go to Sampirang Beach from Manado, the capital city of North Sulawesi, you can use land transportation to Kalinaun Village for 1 hour trip. Sampirang Beach has not provided supporting tourism facilities yet, but if you come to the beach on holiday, you can find typical snacks sold by villagers. But if you want to find a calm and quiet atmosphere, you should come in weekdays. Was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Sampirang Beach in North Sulawesi Province. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. Sampai kapan lagi ku harus kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkinkah menyatu, walau masih ada sisa cinta. Biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Tiada.
sampai kapan lagi ku harus menahan rasa kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Tiada lagi yang ku harapkan, tiada lagi yang ku impikan. Biar aku sendiri tanpa dirimu. Tiada lagi kata cintaku, takkan lagi ku bersamamu. Biar ku simpan
listener. For more information or interesting information about Indonesia, make sure that you will stay tuned, because next we will bring you the miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Ubud Food Festival. Ubud Food Festival, which has been held since 2015. Ubud Food Festival is a cross-culture culinary festival to be held for 3 days, with Indonesian food as its star. The event, which takes place in Ubud, Bali, will present various kinds of Indonesian foods, innovative chef, and amazing local products. In 2020, Ubud Food Festival has a team, Hero, which plays a major role in Indonesian gastronomical world. With the team, the festival will raise the role of mother, father, grandma and grandpa who provide foods that are rich of its history and taste. For the 6th year, the festival will explore how diversity of Indonesian cultures plays important roles in its delicious culinary. Through special event and cooking demo, culinary tourism, workshop, cooking class, music and performance, film, market, and adventure, the 3-day cross-cultural culinary will introduce Indonesian families' traditional recipes to people. Ubud Food Festival becomes Indonesian platform to serve various kinds of culture, culinary, uniqueness of local products and special menus from famous restaurants to the world. In line with this year's theme, Ubud Food Festival unites heroes, figures of local foods to collaborate with well-known chefs throughout the world. The festival aims to encourage cross-cultural exchange and to create new creation. Ubud Food Festival 2020 will present more than 90 speakers that consist of chefs, restaurant owners, food entrepreneurs, farmers, book writers, researchers, and culinary people. Festival of the Culinary announced postponement of the event date, which is previously April 17 to 19, 2020, to be June 26 to 28, 2020. Committee of the Ubud Food Festival took decision to postpone the event after considering situation of the recent world related to coronavirus COVID-19. Janet Deneve, founder and also director of Ubud Food Festival, said that as one of Indonesian culinary themes, the festival is also responsible to prevent coronavirus outbreak and to ensure the health and safety of all related sites to keep being protected. On June 26 to 28, it is hoped that the condition has been conducive. Therefore, Ubud Food Festival 2020 can present culinary festival in secured, comfortable, and healthy conditions. That was our segment for today, Miss Leni. Thanks for listening.
Adakah selama ini aku aku cinta sendiri. Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan. Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki. Ku menunggu dalam bimbang, adakah sungguhnya aku kasih yang kau inginkan. Biar aku yang pergi bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan. Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki.
It appears that besides information, we also have provided some good songs that we hope can, well, lighten up your mood amidst so many lockdown in your countries maybe, or in so many other countries. And we still have much more for you. Make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present you a song by Vina Panduwinata entitled Burung Camar. Vina Panduwinata is one of Indonesia's pop music divas. Her career in the Indonesian music world began since she released her first album titled Citra Biru in 1981. Her name was soaring up when she released the album Burung Camar in 1985. There is a leading song in the album with the same title of the album. Due to the popularity of the song Burung Camar, Vina Panduwinata then famous with the nickname Si Burung Camar or The Seagull. The song Burung Camar was composed by Aryono Hubojo Jati and Iwan Abdurrahman. The song tells a story of a bird who becomes solace to a girl who is feeling sadness. Seeing a seagull flying over the stretch of blue sea, the girl then feels happy and forgot her problems even just for a moment. Listener, let's listen to Vina Panduwinata with the song Burung Camar. Enjoy the song.
Listener, thank you very much for listening. It appears that it is the time for us to say goodbye. Do not forget to send your criticism and also suggestion to our email, voi@voanews.id, or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, listener, we still have much more for you. Make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.